recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf, Masechet Kritut, is Daf Hey, brought to you by Ben Kramat Yerushalayim. And we are holding on the fourth line on Hey Amud Aleph. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we've been discussing the various ways in which it's possible to get separate Malkiot, even though the overall Isser is one. So Rabbi Yitzchak is Mechadesh that we also have when it comes to the Isser of eating Chadash before the Akravat HaOmer. Said if somebody eats lechem, koli, v'charmel, he would be lok at three separate times. Because since the Torah uses the lashon separately of not eating before the Akravas HaOmer, and it mentions all three, must be that each one is a separate lot. What? Says the Gemara v'indokina lafshe b'chlalot. I thought we don't give malchut on a generalized love. Again, we have to recognize that a generalized love has two different ways of being applied. There's a generalized love where a word is used in many different ways. Let's say, lo tochal al adam, which would mean don't eat before davening, you know, or don't eat before the animal has died. You know, even though you did shechit, and so on and so forth. That's called a lav shebichlalut, where bichlal you don't get malchus on. Here we're talking about lav shebichlalut, where you have many different variations on the isser of achilas chadash. You can eat it as bread, you can eat it as fresh grain, you can eat it as popcorn. So those are all chadash. There's no additional malchus on eating in its varied forms, is what we mean over here. But why should there be more than one malchus, is the Gemara's question. Answers, Rabbi Yitzchak, Shani Akademi Atakroi. Over here it's different because we have an extra pasuk, because the Torah could simply have said that lechem, I say lechem, kali, v'charmel, could you say lechem lo tochal? And then I would understand that kali v'charmel is learned from lechem. Why in the world would I have thought that I could learn it from lechem? I mean, I would have said that lechem is unique because, after all, you can't the kali lechem. Where am I up to? Ikal v'efermala lechem shkenit rabe itzachala. Lechem is unique. Once you make lechem, you already have a chiyuv of hafrasha. There is very machmir on lechem. So understand the chashivut of lechem asers it ba'achilat chadash. But that's not a taina that it's an extra pasuk. Okay. Then how about just writing kali? Don't write lechem. Just write kali. And I'll say, well, look, if you can't eat kali, why should you be able to eat lechem? No. How can I learn out lechem eat kali? Lechem eat kali loati. Mishum de kali eat de beine. Remember, if I just pop the grain, I still see the grain in front of me. So I have a new grain. Comes to lechem, it's already ground up. It's not nikkur. Maybe the Torah is only makbid on eating the actual grain. Lechem lo eat de beine. And kali, well, you're going to say I would know karmel from kali? How would I know karmel from kali? Kali is nitrabe, it's a minachot. Where do we ever bring karmel as a mincha? So memela, I'd say kali is a unique situation. So therefore, karmel lo nitrabe, it's a minachot. Maybe the Torah is not makbed on chodashida. Okay, fine, so write karmel. And then I could learn everything out of it. So nichtof karmel, v'nelef lechem, v'kali, mine? No. Because karmel is unique. It hasn't been touched. It hasn't been processed at all. It's raw grain. Lechem has been processed, and kali has been processed. So I would say, mala karmel, sheken lo nishtana mebriato at all. Okay, fine. Minchad lo yalfe. I can't learn out from any one, but couldn't I learn out any one from any two? Let's say, for instance, lo nichtof kro lechem. Let's ignore the lechem and learn out lechem from kali v'karmel. Well, there's an obvious problem. Ika l'mifrach, we could ask, ma'ala kali v'karmel, di'it nu be'ineon? What's unique about kali v'karmel relative to lechem is that they are both in a more natural state than lechem is. Karmel is in a totally natural state. Kali, karvam, a full pillow,
the kernels.
Delicious kernel,
untouched.
Kali is popped, so it's put in a grain in a roaster. You know, and you turn it around over the fire.
So I understand that those things the Torah is makpid on, but maybe not on lechem, which is not in a natural state. Okay, fine. So let the Torah not write karmel. I should be able to learn out karmel from lechem v'koli. No, because then I could be ikal mifra ma'al lechem v'koli shekedet rabo etzel menachot. You bring lechem for some menachot, and you bring koli for some menachot. Okay, you know, yeah, it's all very nice to make it sound like I'm crazy over here. Of course it's me out there crying. Lo nichtav kro koli. What do you have to write koli for? You certainly learn how koli from lechem to karmel. What are you going to ask me, huh? My karakta. If you're going to ask me, well, lechem, after all, you're chayav hakala. Yeah, and karmel, you're chayav hakala. So karmel, you're chayav. If you're going to ask me, well, karmel is entirely natural, really. And lechem is natural. So lechem, you're chayav. So no matter where it is, then you would say, I tell you that you've definitely got an extra koli, and therefore it adds an extra malchut. So memela, you're loka. Well, I mean, koli is extra. So I understand. On koli, you can get malchus. So ve'ema koli, the miyater, mechayev choda. And on the other two, you'd be chayev choda. But how do you get the idea that you'd be chayev on each one? I mean, there's only one extra pasuk for koli. So akulam mechayev choda. But where do you get the idea that you're chayev sholesh? Because in kein nichtov kra, lechem karmel ve'kali. Or koli v'lechem v'karmel. I mean, you're saying that there's two separate sets here. Koli is the only member of the set of the koli malkos, and karmel and lechem are the set of the other malkiot. So why in the world would we put koli in the middle of a set where it doesn't belong? It doesn't make sense. Obviously, the point of writing the pasuk in this way is to teach me that there are no sets. That's the point. And that koli is an example of any member of the set that would get malkut all on its own. Because if not, it should say koli, lechem, v'karmel. Or the opposite, put koli at the end, lechem, karmel, v'kali. But why write kamay kotav koli be'emtza? Therefore, achikama, lechem is basically the same as koli, it's chayev. Karmel is also chayev together with koli. So each one of them is separate. Rav Yanai, you know, the olam ati gzera shava kala be'inecha. Don't think that you can't do really serious things with gzera shava. Because a pigle, I mean, pigle is really hot stuff, you know. It's echad migufei Torah. And you know that lo lindoa katuv elam gzera shava, that really we only know the din of a pigle from gzera shava. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that Tani Zav de Bar Levi, ne'emar la'alan v'ochlav avano yisa. So on the one hand, we have ket kodash Hashem chilel, v'nichrata nefeshim mi'amea, and we have, on the other hand, v'ne'emar kan v'nefesh ha'ochelet mimena, which is a reference to notar. So over there, we're comparing basically the notar and the pigle. So mala alan karet, afkan karet. So how would we know when that there would be a chiyuv karet by pigle if it didn't say anything about the nefesh? All it said is that if somebody eats it, ochlav avono yisa. So the ochlav avono yisa doesn't say exactly what that means. And by notar it says ochlav. Yes, but there it says beferish v'nichrat. So now I know that the v'nichrat is also referring to pigle. That's pretty serious stuff. Omer Rabbi Simoi, you know, you can look at it the opposite. I mean, I'd say Leolam Atek Zera Shavak Kalabei Necha, because Notar is one of the grand Gufei HaTorah, and Lo Lindoa Katuv Elam Zera Shava. The Torah learns that Notar itself is by Karet from Zera Shava, because the truth is that it's very confusing when we learn Ime Akol Yachel Mipsar Zevak Shlamat Bayom HaShlishi. Sounds like it's talking about notar. In reality, it's talking about someone who thought about notar, lo yechashev, which is really pigul, not notar. So basically, what we're doing is we need to understand that there's a chiyuv of kodesh kodesh. It says v'ochlav avono yisa, and on the other hand, it says kis kodesh shem chilel. And on the other, it says, "V'sarafta anotar be'esh ki kodeshu." That ki kodeshu teaches me that the kodesh the Hashem Chilel, where it says Beferish Achlava Vano Yisa, here in Tzav, that is Gufa teaching me that there's a din of Karet Anotar. Uchtiv V'saravta Anotar Be'ej. Om Rabbi, I would give another example. I would say, Leolam Al Tigzera Shava Kala Be'necha. You know, you guys are looking for Karet. I'm going to show you that Gzera Shava is not only good enough to teach me the Chiv of what you get for doing an Isser, in this case, Mita, which Mita, but also the actual Isser itself. I would say, Leolam Al Tigzera Shava Kala Be'necha, because the whole din of Bito Mianusato is certainly Gufei Torah. V'lolim Da Katuv Elam Gzera Shava. The Torah never mentions, interestingly enough, we have two separate groups of Isurim of sleeping with a daughter. One is your wife's daughter, and over there it says Isha Ubita, Ubat Bita, Ubat Mina. But it says Isha Ubita. When it talks about your own daughter, it doesn't say Bitra. It only says Bat Abat and Bat Aben. And that's referring to a daughter who's not the daughter of your wife. So it's Bito Mianusato. So you had this daughter, but your wife did not have this daughter, because the woman that bore that child was not your wife. And how do I know a granddaughter? Okay, but how do I know sleeping with a daughter is usher? Because obviously we can't make Gzera Shava, because we don't create Azarot Min Adin. We learn it, says Rava. The Amar Rava Amali Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, the famous drasha of Atya Hena Hena. Atya zima zima. So by the bat ishto, there it says ervat isha ubita lo tigale, which is her bat, and over there it says sheira hina zimahi. But it also says ervat bat pincha o bat pitcha, nothing to do with a woman. So obviously it's your daughter, not her daughter. But it only is bat haben and bat habat. So how do I know that? Because there too, even though it doesn't say bat, it says beferish, the first word, she'era hena zimahi, and by anusato, it says ervatcha hena. So the hena is compared to the hena which does mention bat, and that's bat ishto. How do I know what you're chai? That's the isura. How do I know that there's an isur, that there's a chiv of sreifa? Atya zima zima l'sreifa. Since it says zimahi, so now I learned that there's also a din of zima, sreifa, by the case of a mother-in-law, yishav et ima, zimahi, and there it says, beferish sreifa. So now I know that that's the din of the banot batishto, and from that, I learned to be tobe anusato. Amar Ravashi, I would say that you don't have to look for a particular case. There's a whole general case that's only learned out of Gzera Shava. I would put it this way. Al Tigzera Shava Kala Be'necha. Because all of the Niskalim are Gufei Torah. How do I know that the Niskalim are considered to be Chayav Skila? It doesn't say in any of them except one. And all the others is the Be'em Bum. So how do I know that that's Skila? From Gzera Shava. Tatanya Nema Kand Be'em Bum. Whenever by Ovi Yidoni, the Mayim Bam, just like by Ovi Yidoni, Malalan, it says Beferish Biskila. So too, by all of these Arayot and Iskalim, we now know that it's Biskila. The next case we had in the Mishnah was someone who was Mefatem the Shemen Hamishcha. Tana Rabbana, Hamefatem et Hashemen Lil Modbo Olam Osor Letzibur. Somebody is being Mefatem the Shemen in order to learn how to make it, to give it over to the tzibur. So he's hoping that they'll use his shemen. For the shemen HaMishmi certainly doesn't intend to use it in any way. He's potter. If he makes the shemen l'tzuchpo, then he's chayev. But if he's actually sach mimenu, he's potter. Because you're only chayev if you use the original Shemen HaMishcha, the real Shemen HaMishcha, not a copy of the Shemen HaMishcha. So when it comes to the Shemen, the Isser is in making a copy, but there's no Isser in using the copy. And even in making a copy, it's only where you make a copy to use. But if you make a copy to give to the Tzibur, then it's not considered to be an Isser.
Wait, there's no Isser to use the copy.
There's no issue to use the copy, but there's an issue to make the copy to use. So it's very, very different from the Ketoret.
In the To use not in the right way, but to use it if you give it to the tzibur, to use.
No, to use for your. If you make a copy for yourself to use, then it's also.
Yeah.
But using yourself is not.
Using yourself, if it isn't a real thing, that's not a separatism. So if you take somebody else's copy and use it, you won't be chayav at all. You're just using a nice, very delicious mixture of shemen. You know, you can package it and sell it.
Somebody else.
Mifatim is to put the spices.
Mifatim is when we talk about adding something and fattening it up, so to speak, making it better. You're fattening it up with the smell and with the good spice.
Essential oil as well.
Right. We're going to see in a moment how we do that.
So you can go do it.
So. You said that little modbo, amanatlabo, so let's see where some have that these are two separate things, that you're just practicing not to give it to the tzibur, but to learn how it was made, or to actually make it, to give it to the tzibur, your potter. How do we know that? Well, we learn that out from matkunto, from the mankuta of the kitoret. In both cases, it uses the lashon of bimatkunto. And we know by the Ketoret, it says, Beferish lo tasu lachem, and it's only lachem udi asur, but it is not asur if it isn't lachem. So therefore, if it was lamos ulatzibur, it would be potter. So too, we'd have to say it's true by the shemen, kabi shemenami, lamos ulatzibur patur. Oh no, wait a minute. If there is, in fact, a gzera shava between the shemen ha-mishka and the Ketoret, then we ought to learn the Ketoret also from the Shemen HaMishka. Because the din is by the Shemen, if you're Mefatem, even prorated, Lechetzian. So there, you the Mefatem Lechetzian would be Potter, so by the Ketoret, and that's even for use. So by the Ketoret, Ki Mefatem Lechetzian, it should also be Potter. So why do we say, Aloma Amarava, the Ketoret that was prorated, you would be chayev for making? That Ketoret Shepitmola Chatzayin, you would be chayev. Shemen Shepitmola Chatzayin, you would be pater. This seems to contradict Rava, because we're saying that there's a Gzera Shava that compares the two. Amalacha Rava, that's very true. But there's a special limud by the Shemen. Because by the Shemen, it says, Beferish, Ubematkunto lota asu kamohu. Why does it have to say? Doesn't bematkunto lota asu tell me kamohu? So therefore, kamohu clearly is supposed to add something to the recipe. The matkunto is the recipe. Now you can always prorate a recipe. So therefore, it says kamohu. It's saying don't use a recipe to make the same amount that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you were befatim lechetzian, you would be potter. So chetzio would be shaper dami, because it's not kamohu. But by the ktoret, all it says over there is haktoret asher ta'aseh. So that means kol asya de ktoret. Because after all, the ktoret itself, you could bring pras bevoker, pras shachris, pras ben arbaim. I mean, so there's no specific, it's not like the shemen hamishcha. Tana rabban. Let's talk about how to make the Shemen HaMishka, now that we know that it's awesome. This is just to let you know that the internet is okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Shemen HaMishka was made of mordror, chamesh meot. And then we have kida, chamesh meot. Kinman bosem, chamesh meot. Knei bosem is chamishim u'matayim. Put it all together, and you have 1,700 v'chamishim. Now,
what?
Of shkalim. These are the weights.
I have a writing on the side, 23.33 kilograms. I must have gotten that from Rabbi Les.
Yeah.
51.5 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's for the whole year, right?
Shemen HaMishka?
No, it's like forever.
This is forever. Yeah. We're going to talk about how so little would be sufficient. And this is not of oil. This is of the ingredient. Oil. Yeah, but it's not. It's not kept. As we'll see, there's a very tiny amount of oil. Ask the Gemara, well, I don't get it. Tana minyana kamashmon? I mean, why do I need the Tata to add it up for me? I know how to add. No. The Tana was worried about how to understand the pasuk. Because, look, if you read the pasuk, it tells you how to bring these amounts, but in a very strange way. It tells you how much half of the amount is. That's weird. So instead of saying chamesh mi'ot, it says machzito chamishim u'matayim. That's strange. So I would have thought the machzito chamishim u'matayim goes on all the ingredients, because maybe the knei bosem and the kinmon bosem are meant to be the same thing. Just like the kinmon bosem is machzito is chamishim u'matayim. So when it gives the amounts, even though it gives them on the knei bosem, it just says chamishim u'matayim. Maybe it really means machzito chamishim u'matayim, and the machzito would go on both of them, and that would equal 2,000. Not to take off 250 from the 2,000 and to be left with 1,750. Therefore, he wants to talk out that no, it's 1,750. Oh, you know, and now that you point that out, maybe it's true, actually. Maybe it should be 2,000. Ve'im al-chinami. No, because in Kein Niktov Kro, Kinman Bosem Uknei Bosem, Mechza. The Mechza is Chamishim U'matayim. Why does it say instead that the Kinman Bosem is Mechza Chamishim U'matayim, and then Knei Bosem Chamishim U'matayim? So obviously the Mechza is not referring to that. Omele Rav Papa Labaye, all of these amounts, Keshu Shokel. Now, obviously, what is leading Rav Papa to this question is the very fact that it is weighed in a way that gives us 250 twice. Now, I know, generally speaking, the difference between weighing something twice and weighing it once is that if you're trying to make certain that you have enough, you're going to put in two echreyos when you do it twice. Because you always put a little bit more to make sure that the scale goes down completely. The question is whether there was any echreya at all. When the Torah gives an amount, does it mean exactly, or does it mean that amount plus what would ever be what you would normally put in to make sure that the scale goes all the way down?
A saying, is that the Echreya? What does Rabbi mean? What does Rabbi mean by Echreya?
What I just said, a little bit extra amount that makes the scale goes down. I thought it was quite clear. How could you get clear? An extra amount that makes the scale goes down. La'achreya means to force down. To be machriya, you push down the scale. Little bit more. So I want to know, says Rav Papa, was the mishkal of these ingredients done precisely so that the scale would come exactly in the middle? Or was it done by achreya so that the scale would go down so that there was slightly more? So be'achreya hu shokel, or ayin ba'ayin hu shokel. Ayin ba'ayin means the two parts of the weight are staring at each other. So you've got two eyes looking at each other, right? How do we look at it? Well, Mallory, I don't understand what kind of weird question that is. If the Torah wrote bad bevad yeh, doesn't that mean precisely this amount, and you're suggesting we should do a achreya? Hey, wait a minute. That's no taina, because we know that Rabbi Yom Alei, the Omer Rabbi Yudah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodea Be'achreot. Didn't Rabbi Yudah say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all about Achreot? So obviously there must be Achreot. There are a number of different ways of learning this. The most reasonable way is that what Rabbi Yudah is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration in giving you the amount that it will be Mukhra. Others learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodea Echreot means he likes Echreot. Yodea in the sense of Ohev. Others learn the Pshat as Yodea Echreot. There's no need to weigh them exactly because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how much the Echreot will be. So don't add the amount of the Echreot to the weight. It doesn't add. Okay, whatever it is, but clearly if that's what Rabbi Yudah says about the Shemana Mishka, Alma Itbu Echreot, don't tell me that there is no Echreot. Elam Rabbi Yudah, that's the whole point. You know why the Kinman Bosem, you're bringing in halves of 250 instead of bringing 500? Am I Maite Bachzito of Chamesh Meod, Chamishim U'matayim B'chad Zimna, and another Chamishim U'matayim B'chad Zimna? If all of it anyway is Chamesh Meod, given the Kulo Chamesh Meod, Avian, just bring Chamesh Meod, about the Chat. Shumami, now that's the whole point. If the Torah is telling you to bring it twice, the only point of bringing it twice is to make sure that there are two echreyot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking into consideration the echreya in the total amount. That's the point. So, mi de kamayte la lekidman. Botsim, Bitray Zimni. Obviously, there's got to be a Echrea in it. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Bechrea, that's the point. So then why did it say Bad Bevad? So then what is the Bad Bevad? Amar Avina, what that means is, don't weigh, leave it on the scale, and then weigh the next ingredient against the first ingredient. You have to weigh it bad bevad. Each ingredient put on separately onto a scale against the weight. So shelo yadiach mishkal b'mishkal v'yishkol. After all, b'kachem ein lamedim lamad min alamad. You like that, Bernie? Huh? You caught the full.
And everything that I caught, you can't transfer one to the other. It has to be direct.
And yes. Right, but there's also a double meaning to the word lamad, which is measurement. You cannot really get an accurate. No, but you'd be able to get it. Is not in terms of measurements, particularly, it's in terms of divisions. It's slightly different than could. Tanraba. Shemen Amishka Shasom Moshe Bamidbar. You know how he made it? First, he boiled up the oil in these ingredients. And then the taste, smell of the ingredients got into the oil, and then he filtered it out. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Oh my, Rabbi Yehuda, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, you couldn't even have enough oil to put on these ingredients. Forget about boiling these ingredients. If you put that amount of oil on these ingredients, it would have been completely absorbed, and there wouldn't have been any oil left. So now you want to cook it? You want to cook it in the oil where there wouldn't be any oil? You can't even put it on cold. Nothing like what you say. You first have to take the ikarim and you boil them up in water. Now, there's another girsa, which is visharum b'mayim. You let them soak in water until they soak up all of the water.
So they won't soak up
the oil. They won't soak up the oil. Then you're matzif alayim shemen hamishcha. And you allow them to absorb, without being absorbed, they absorb all of the smell, and then you filter it out. V'kipcho.
These are
ikarim? Ikarim, yeah. We're calling them ikarim in other words in general, yeah. Oh, you have a problem with miracles, do you? You know, I mean, if there's one place not to have problems with miracles, it's with the Shemen HaMishcha. I mean, the Chinesa Chad Naaseh B'Shemen HaMishcha. This is your big problem, that there's not enough oil to boil. Wonderful point. I mean, you know how many Nisim are? First of all, Mitzchilat Avat Sofo, it's all miraculous. It was only 12 luk, okay? Those 12 luk, even if we manage to maintain all of the 12 luk, you're telling me there's enough in 12 luk to be Moshech the Mishkan, all of the thousands of the Kalim of the Mishkan, Aaron and his sons, all Shivat Yamiluim, all of the Kohanim Gedolim throughout history, the various Malachim, and after we manage to use it for all of that, we still have every last bit of it left to use for Mashiach's times. Kulo Kayim Latid Lavo, Shinama Shemen Mishkat Kodesh Yezeh Li Ledorotechem. This oil is the same oil that's going to be mine, and you take a look at the Gematria of Zeh, and Yippee Ayo, it equals 12, which is the same 12 looking that you start with, and you're worried about boiling the oil. Ha! Tan Rabbanu. Vayikach Moshe Shemen HaMishcha, Mayim Shachat HaMishkan. And here Rabbi Yehuda says, look, that Shemen HaMishcha, Shasa Moshe B'Midbar, Harbe Nisim Na'asu Bo, Mitkilato V'Atzofo. We start at the beginning, Mitkilato Lo Haya, Ela Shnei Masar Lugin. Okay, now, normally, how much oil would be absorbed by the pot that you're cooking the whole thing in? So, kama yora bolat. How about all of these ingredients? Kama ikarin bolin. And what about evaporation? Kama ha'ur soref. And you know what? After the whole process was finished, Bonim shach mishkan v'kelav Aaron ubanav kol shivat yimei ha'miluim Bonim shach all of the Kohanim Gedolim and the Malachim. And by the way, even a Kohen Gadol is a Ben Kohen Gadol requires Mashiach. I don't think we got away with any of those Kohanim Gedolim, although it's true that Ein Moshkin Melech Ben Melech. And if you ask me, so how come they were Moshiach and Shilomo in Tomar? I mean, it's something of we've gotten a little off topic, but I'll get back onto it. And if you ask me, Why did we do Mishicha and Shlomo? That's because Adoniyahu was fighting against it. Mipnei Machloket Adoniyahu. And why were we Mosheach Yoash? That's because Ataliah was going out and claiming the Malchut. And why Yehoahaz? Well, that's because, look, Yehoiakim was his brother, and he was 2 years older. And nonetheless, we made Yehoahaz king. And therefore, we needed to do something to prove the point. Omar, you said that even a Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, requires Mashiach. How do you know that? Dechtiva, Kohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav. Well, what's a Mashiach tachtav mibanav? Couldn't you just say va'akohen tachtav mibanav? Maya Mashiach, akamashman afil mibanav. Only the one that gets Mashiach is called the Kohen Gadol. But without Mashiach, it's not a Kohen Gadol. Okay, and you said Omar, ein moshchin melech ben melech. How do you know that? Binolam Omar avach bar Yaakov dechtiv leman yarich amim amamlachto hu uvanav. So it says beferish that original Mashiach goes on him and on his children. So memela it's hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael. It's a Yerusha. And then you said, "Mipnei mamash kret shlomo, mipnei machloket adoniyahu." How do you know that just because there's a machloket, minolan that you have a right to do mishicha? So minolan the chiyati machloket boy mishicha, and maybe call the boy malka morit leimalchuta. If it's Yerusha, maybe it's just up to the king. So if the king says, as was the case for Shlomo, where David said, "Shlomo yimloch acharai," that's Yerusha. Who's to say that it requires a new mishicha? Omer of Papa, because it said beferish on the din of the Malchut, hu l'man yarich yamima mamlachto hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael. Bekerav Yisrael implies that all of Yisrael agrees, and that's bizman shalom be Yisrael. But if it's not bekerav Yisrael, then we don't say that it's going to be a Yerusha for him. Tana, the truth is that Yehu ben Nimshi, even though obviously, as we're going to see, these are not Malchi Yehuda, these are Malchi Yisrael. And Malchi Yisrael do not get Mashiach, the Shemana Mashiach at all. But they do have Mashiach with a different kind of oil, which we'll talk about. And there too, we wouldn't be Mosheach every Melech. But Yehu was Nimshach because of the fact that he had to depose Yoram ben Achav. What do you mean? It's not because he had to depose Yoram ben Achav, it's because he's not the child of a Melech. I mean, that's the point. He's the first of a line. So typically, the Melech Rishonu, you're right. There's something missing here in this braita. She's Surah Machas, Hochigaton. Malchei Beit David, Moshchin. Malchei Yisrael, Ein Moshchin, at all. So if you ask me, Mipnei Ma Moshchu Yehu Ben Nimshi, that was because there was a Machloket with Yoram Ben Achav. Let's start at the beginning. Malchei Beit David, Moshchin. Malchei Yisrael, not Moshchin at all. How do we know? Meaning, Zetoun Mashiach, but no other Beit Malchut, because we know David was over to Keter Malchut, in Achar Toun Mashiach. Okay, and then you said.
We're going to show for the moment. We're going to take the
Shoal. Past, Shoal was Nimshach. We're going past David from that point on. I don't understand. So you're telling me that basically what we wanted to do was to make it official. Because as the first king, there wouldn't be Mashiach either, because he's a Melech Yisrael. So, but since there were people that were still backing Yoram, so therefore we wanted to make it very clear, look, it's over, baby, and this is a new kingdom. So because of that, Nimo, B'Shem and Amishcha, I understand. You told me I'm not supposed to be Mashiach. Well, how can I use the Shem and Amishcha to do an Isser?
What's wrong with the Rosh Hashanah? Is that the question?
What?
What's wrong with the Rosh Hashanah? It's coming from a Navi. Why is that a question? So
what do you mean? Why? Where would you say it's a Rosh Hashanah?
Because the Navi said, "Go and be Moshiach."
Okay, but we have no reason to believe it's the Shemana Mishka. Where we get it from? It's not a Tzivui Min HaShemayim. So what would be the reason to be Moel? If it's, you're saying it's only for logistical reasons, so why do it? We should be Moel in the Shemana Mishka. No, we weren't. Chas v'shalom. It's Rav Papa points out elsewhere, as we're going to see, that it was b'afarsim adachya, so they used a different Mashiach of pure afarsimon. Achinami, it meant b'mosheachim as an act of symbolic malchut, of afarsim adachya. And then you said Yehoahaz, we also were Mosheach, because Yehoiakim was older than him by 2 years. How do you get that? Umika Shishi wasn't older than him. As a matter of fact, it says exactly the opposite. It says that Yoshio's children are as follows. Habokor Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyo, Varevi Shalom, and Rabbi Yochanan said that Yehoahaz is actually Tzidkiyahu, and that is Shalom. So the correct, we're talking about over here, the Abakor Yochanan, which you're claiming that the oldest one was really the one that was mentioned here, is actually mentioned afterwards. So he's not older than him. You're telling me that he was older than him. Yoachaz, it should say, is the first one, is Yochanan. So how do you get that he's Yoyakim is the second one? So my Kari Lebachor, you're right. Yoyakim was actually Kashish. The reason we call him Lebachor was because he was the Bechor Lamalchut. He was the first one to be a Melech. So why did we make him Melech? Mimuk minin zutek ame Kashisha? V'aktiv et ha-mamlacha natan yoram ki yu ha-Bechor. So clearly you're supposed to give the Mamlacha to the Bechor. Yes. But that's only if he's a tzaddik like his father was. Yoram was in fact a tzaddik like his father. So he was mamale mekom avotav ave. But in this case, the malchut could not be given over initially to Yoyakim because Yoachaz was mamale mekom avotav and Yoyakim was not. Tzidkiyo, Yoshio was a great tzaddik and they needed to appoint in his place someone who was Mamali Mekomo, just like when Yehoshaphat was also a someone who represented Tzidkut. We needed to select a tzaddik.
Historical comment, please. Hysterical? No, hysterical. So the pasuk says that the people appointed Yehoshaphat, the Am spoke of it, and then Parnachol comes back, deposes him after 3 months, and puts in Yoyakim. The Babylonian Chronicle records the passage of Parnachol from Mitzrayim to come to fight by Karkemish and Haran, the last battle of the king of Ashur fighting against Bavel, and then his return. You can date when this happened in Tammuz of Elul, exactly where. So what are these 3 months that he was? It was the 3 months while Parnachol was out fighting. And when he comes back down to Mitzrayim, he says, no, I'm going to appoint a vassal king of my choosing. So the Am was Berkha the Tzadik, and then Mitzrayim takes over and changes it.
No. So there too, what we're talking about is, you said that Shalom is Tzidkiyo. How could Shalom be Tzidkiyo if we're listing them separately? I don't understand how you read the Pasuk. The Pasuk gives you numbers, right? Hashlishi Tzidkiyo Haravi Shalom. I mean, if you want to tell me that Yochanan is Yoachaz, I understand that you could say Yochanan is Yoachaz, but I don't understand because he's not mentioned. Okay, so that makes sense. I do not understand how you could possibly say that the two separate people mentioned in the Pasuk are the same person. Right? Something's very strange over here. You saw what happened, by the way, is that we included Rabbi Yochanan's name as Yochanan. We lost the Yochanan, and it said the printer lost the Yochanan. But what we said is Rabbi Yochanan was saying that who Yochanan is Yoachaz. So that makes sense. But Tzidkiyo is Shalom does not make sense because Tzidkiyo and Shalom are listed in the Pasuk as number 3 and number 4. So ask the Gemara of Adari Kachash, you're listing them as separate Dorot, so to speak. The 3rd and the 4th. Says the Gemara, no. The idea over here is he's the 3rd in the sense of the 3rd of the Banim. But he's listed separately as the 4th because he's the 4th in the order of the Malchut. Because what happened is that we first went down one generation before we got the Tzidkiyo. That's the point. So Mishum Demalach Yechonyo Kamei, because we had Betchila, we had Yoachaz. Then we had Yoyakim, which was Parnachol. Then we had Yechonya. And then we had Tzidkiyo. Tana Rabbanan, and indeed the Brayta says this, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkiyo, why did we call him Shalom? Because he was a Shalom, b'ma'asav. Davar Acher, we call him Shalom Sheshilam Malchut Beit David Biyamav. That was the end of Malchut Beit David. His real name was Mitanyahu, because it says Vayim Loch and Mitanyahu Dodo. After all, he was the uncle of Yekanyahu, Taktav. Vayasev Shemo Tzidkiyahu. So now we see that Mitanyahu was Tzidkiyahu, who here identify as Shalom because he's the last in Malchut Beit David. And why did we turn his name to the name of Tzidkiyahu? Because Nebuchadnezzar told him, I'm warning you, buddy, if you turn against me, then then God only help you if you are morid me. Shenemar v'yevi'ehu. Now here it says v'yevi'ehu bavela, which is clearly the wrong pasuk, because what we're trying to say is that v'yevi'ehu be'Allah, he made him swear to him that he would not be morid against. That's the whole Gemara about swearing that he wouldn't tell people that Nebuchadnezzar eats rabbits, you know. And it says afterwards, Gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar, melech bavel, marad asher hishbio b'Elohim. So you see that he had made him swear, and therefore he warns him against going against Yeshua.
Another printing
error? What?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a change. It's mistaper that it's the other pasuk. It's not absolutely impossible. That would be just showing that he was terribly punished the way of Bavela and all the awful things that were done to him. But now the problem is that you said that we used the Shemen HaMishra on Yoachaz. There was no Shemen HaMishra at the time of Yoachaz. Because Vatanya Misha Nignaz Aaron, Nignaz Tzitzenet Haman, the Tzlukit Shemen HaMishka, the Maklo Shel Aaron with the Shkedim and Prachim, the Argaz that the Plishtim sent of the Doron, Lohei Yisrael, and because it says, V'et Klei Hazav Asher Hashivotam Lo Hasham, Tassimu Bargaz Mitzido. And who was the one who had hid all of the above? Mi Ganzo, Yoshio Melech Yehuda Ganzo, long before Yoachaz. Shenemar, because that's clearly what it means when it says Vayomer LaLeviim, it should be Amevinim L'chol Yisrael HaKadoshim LaShem, Tnu Et Aron HaKadosh B'Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. This is a special bayit which was built underground to hide these things when it would come for the time of the Churban. And clearly it's a reference not only to the Arayin, but it's a reference to all of the above, because we learn them all out of Psukim, because we have a drasha in all of these things for a pasuk that is mentioned together with the Arayin. So we learn out Shom, we learn out Dorot from Dorot, we learn out Mishmeret from Mishmeret, by the Tzitzenet, Mishmeret Ot Meri, and that's the, again, Shom, which was together with the Mate Aaron, and so on. Answers Rav Papa, and this was the Rav Papa that we were referring to earlier, answers Rav Papa, what we mean is not the Shemen HaMishka, what we mean is that Yoachaz, we used Afar Samadachya. So the same way that for Yoachaz we used Afar Samadachya, it's reasonable to say that that was the reference also to the time of the Machlokas with Yoram ben Achav with Malka Yisrael. Tana Rabbana. Moshchim et ablachim k'min nezer, v'et ha-kohanim k'min chi. With the way in which we do the Mashiach, is the melech, we use the Shemen HaMishcha in the shape of a crown on his forehead, and the kohanim, we use a chi yevanit, which is an X. Omer of Menashe, this is chi yevanit. So that's the reason we use Xmas for Christmas, that's the christening, because it's a sign of an X, actually. So that's the chi. So the difference between them is one is a getter of Mashiach alone, and one is Mashiach that's supposed to stand in for Malchus. Tani Chada, now we know that it uses the lashon of Latsuk Shemen Arusha and to be Mosheach. Which one comes first? So Tani Chada, first you're about Sik Shemen Arusha, and then you take the Shemen from the head and bring it down, then we say enough, in the shape of a chi. And then you do the Yitzika al Rosha. And actually, the two brayot refer to the sheet of two separate tannaim. Ikalaman yomer mishicha adifa, that the greater covet is the act of mishicha. Ikalaman yomer yitzika, the pouring out is adifa. My time in the mandomer yitzika adifa. Why would I think that pouring out is more choshev? Shenema vayitzok bishemana mishcha al rosh aaron. So that comes. This is the way in which the Torah describes the actual event. And then it says Vayim Shachoto Lekacho. So clearly, first comes the Yitzika. Uman Yomer Mishicha Adifa Kasava. Look, by Kli Sharet, we don't find Yitzika. We find only Mishicha. So that means that the Iker is the Mishicha. Shekenit Rabbi, it's a Kli Sharet. But I mean, you can't completely ignore the order of the pasuk, can you? Yes, Achikamar, what it says is, Vayitzok, because you had been Moshech Otolakacha. Toner Rabbanan, Kishemen Atov, Hayored Al Harosh. So we have this strange pasuk that defines the way in which Aaron HaKohen is Ketal Hermon, Shiored Al Haret Zion. So it compares that to Aaron HaKohen, Shemen HaTov Al HaRosh, which is Yored Al HaZakan, Zikan Aaron, Shiyored Al Pimidotav. What in the world is that referring to? What does that have to do with his beard? Oh, so actually what happened was like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu did the Mashiach of the Shemen HaMishcha, Kimin Shnei Tipin Margaliot, two pearl shapes that were constructed of Shemen HaMishcha, would hang on Aaron's beard as a sign of Yakros. Omer of Kahana, Tana, it says in a bright time.
What?
What
did we say? Preciousness.
Preciousness. Yeah. So when Aaron would speak, those pearls would come up at Yoshvot Vikrei Zikno. They would be up against his skin. And then when he would be walking, not speaking, where there was no chashash, that in speaking it would touch something else, so then it would be Yored. That's why it says Yored al Zikan Aaron. And Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried about this. Well, that was it. Moshe Rabbeinu doeg, Shema chas v'sholom alti b'shem ha-mishcha. What in the world? Why would there be this if it wouldn't be that I used too much shemen? And this is a simen that there was too much oil? Until a bat kol came out, v'amra, ketal chermon, shiored al haaretz zion. That's why the next pasuk compares it to the tal chermon. Just like tal ein bo mi'ila, shemen shiored al zekan aaron, ein bo mi'ila. But Aaron was doing, shem Moshe lo mo'al. Okay, I understand Moshe wasn't mo'al, but I constantly amene from this, my begotten smell all the time of the reyach, of the shemen ha-mishcha. I mean, people, you know, they take a tiny invisible amount of perfume and they put it on. I'm walking around with this permanent, because the shemen ha-mishcha never disappears. So I'm walking around all the time with, what do they call it? Cardin. What's the name of the fancy perfumes? You think those are good perfumes? Yeah, the Shemana Mishra on me. Maybe that's the Dinah Me'ila. Vanima Alti. Yatzta Bat Kovam Ralo. Therefore, came along the Bat Kov to continue. Inim Atova Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Just like Moshe wasn't Mayal because of its comparison to Tal Hermon. Afata Loma Alta. So too, you were not Mayal.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
So, Rabotai, we have a nice, easy fourth daf today. We have mamish, the equivalent of 4 or 5 in a daf. It's incredible. So today's daf is daf hey. Thank God we've got a little semi. I got it on another day, so it's not that terrible. But I think instead of concentrating as we usually do and actually sleeping, so getting inside and going through the verbet, maybe we should take some shortcuts today.
It's only 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay, so we were still holding on Dav Dalet Amud Beis, and we were up to the third long line in the middle, Omar Rava. Omar Rava Shalosh Kritut Ha'amurot B'dam L'mai. There's lots of mentioning in the Torah of the Isser Dam, and there's actually 3 separate places. We saw one yesterday, which was in Sav, but there's another 2 in Ha'amurimos, that mention a din of karet legabe dam. Why would the Torah have to repeat the Yisr karet 3 times?
Achat Adam Chulin, Achat Adam Kodeshin, V'achat V'dam Adam Tzi. So one comes to tell me that there's an Isser of eating Dam for Chulin, and there we are. Allah Arz Tishbachanu Gamayim. So the Allah Arz Tishbachanu Gamayim certainly could not be referring to Kodeshim, and we certainly don't pour out the Dam of Kodeshim, Allah Arz Tishbachanu Gamayim. Then we have a separate din of eating dam kochim, and then there's also dama tamtzit. The dama tamtzit is blood that will dribble out after the main dama nefesh came out. That dam is not really for kapara. It has to be, the, as the Torah says, the nefesh, dam sha nefesh yotzin bo, is mechaper. So I might have thought that maybe all of these yisurim on dam, which are essentially very similar to chalev in that they take that which is given on the Mizbeach and say, but that's not for you to eat. It's lechaper. So tamsis, which isn't lechaper, should be not a chiev of karet. Therefore comes on the Torah to tell me that there is a chiev of karet given on Dama Tamsin. Now wait a minute, that itself is a machlokas. Hey, Nichol Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, fine. Rabbi Yehuda holds indeed that Dama Tamsit is a chiev of karet. The Tanya, Dama Tamsit ba'azara, according to the Rabbanan, the Isur of Dama Tamtzit is only an Isur Lav, and the Isur Karet only refers to Dam, which is given the Kapara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's the Karet. So, okay, let's assume for a moment that the three Isurim that are mentioned in Dam that have a Karet attached to them, as I said, there's many Isurim, but three places where it mentions Karet. One is Chulin, one is Kochim, and one is Tamtzit, but according to the Rabbanan who don't hold of Tamtzit, why do we need the three? Rabbanan, Ahila Mayata. What's the point of the third one? You know what the truth is? We're fooling ourselves if we think it works out a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda. Afila Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that the Yisur Karet actually on there, the two. He learns that from the fact that it says Kol Dam, mm-hmm, instead of simply saying Dam, in which case, according to him, it's even worse in a way because we've got two extra psukim. So karet napkalein midam kol dam. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, dam. Ma tamud lomar kol dam. Why does the Torah mention the word kol? Because ainly, if it hadn't said kol dam, ainly el adam kodashim shanevesh yotzei boshu mechaper. Basically, as we saw, the Torah sets this up as one of those mirror images of dam that's given to Mizbeach. So I would have thought dapka, A, it has to be kodesh, and secondly, it has to be the type of dam kodesh that would be mechaper al nefesh, which is dafka dam nefesh. What about dam chulin, which is bechlal not mechaper, dam tamtzit, which wouldn't even be mechaper legabe kodesh minayin? Tamud lomar kol dam. So the truth is, I don't need, according to Rabbi Yehuda, more than that pasuk. Elohima, therefore, let's go back indeed. Say it's going according to Rabbanan. Say echad adam chulin, echad adam kodeshim, the echad adam kisui. Another one goes to tell me that even a dam of a chaya, which I'm have a chiyav of kisui, is a little bit machlokas. Rashi learns over here, the dam of the chaya that was mechuseh, I would have thought that there's no longer an issur dam on it since it was mechuseh. The mashma'ut over here is from the Rosh that he understands Rashi to be saying the dam would be batal. And that bothers him, as the Shita points out, because, I mean, if it's nikkur, then it's not batal, and otherwise it actually would be batal. And so what would the pasuk be coming to tell me? But the truth is, Rashi, the pashtus of Rashi is that he's saying that because the Torah said that this is what's to be done with the dam, at the point that I'm mechaseh, it takes it out now of the category of dam. As you complete it, so to speak, the mitzvahs with this substance. And it's now viewed as being returned to the earth. And what's returned to the earth? It's misalik, ashem dam from it. That's probably the meaning of Rashi. Tosis bechlal elsewhere. I mean, he learns that the issue of Yerudam Kisri is because it's not shaykh to say the Alar Tishbuchena Kamayin. That's how some understand it anyway. Because it's not Tishbuchena Kamayin. That would only be a Dhamma of Behemoth is Tishbuchena Kamayin. Over here, you can't just pour it out. You have to be made in the Offer Lamata and Offer Lamala and so on. That's not Kamayin.
What are we going to do if you have something now?
We don't discuss that yet. Okay, but we have approaches elsewhere for reviewing, which we've seen. The Yomar Rava, Chamisha Lavim Hamurim Bedam. Now, there's actually many, many places where the Torah asks Dam, more than five. However, as Rashi points out, there are five that we don't find ever being used for a drasha. Mm-hmm. Five Sukkim of Dam, not the iser of, not the mention of karet, but the iser of dam. And Rashi brings, again, as I said, we're so stressed here time-wise. Normally it's a little bit absurd to be reading this and not to go through the psukim. Here I'll have to refer you, Rashi lists the five that we're referring to over here that the Gemara doesn't darshan elsewhere. And those five isuri lavi, why are they coming, what are they coming to be marva? Achas adam chulin, v'achas adam kodashim, v'achas adam kisui, v'achas adam ivarim, v'achas adam atamsid. Now either these are azharot, which are, lead you to a chiyuv of karet, or they're azharot that don't have karet, depending on the context. But the only one that we didn't discuss here is dam ivarim. Everything else we discuss, and dam evarim is the dam that is yotze from the evarim. It's not wallets in there. In other words, somebody shecks an animal and eats the meat without kashering, there's no iser in that. Because the blood is basically inside the meat. It's in that. They're the third anasrit. It's only if the dam is yotze from the evar. In other words, if you cook it. So there, if you boil it up, it reabsorbs its own dam. That's where you would have a problem. So if that, you squeeze out that dam, or boil out that dam, then that dam would be usur. And that's the dam evar, no, that's dam evari. Dam atamsit is the blood that continues flowing from a wound or from an ashkita after the dam anepesh is yotze, the first spurts of blood that supported life. Dama kisui, we explained. Yeah. That was the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. We're talking about liyacha kisui, that it would be bottle to the adama, or because it's not considered to be dama, since it's not a lot of kamayim. There are a number of other approaches also as to why I would have thought dama kisui is bottle. Omer Abila. So now, in continuation of the idea of having a lav that may have various separate chiyuvim of malchus, and nonetheless, we had until now, we don't perhaps only have one chatas, the Gemara now extends the chlal. It's true, it's not directly nogei ar sugya. However, because we've spoken about the idea of lav that appeared to be a lav shebech lalut, we started with things that were very, very clearly separate, where the Torah was machalik both for Chatas and for Malchus. We had Shabbos, we had all of the Malachas, we had the four separate Avedis, the Avedis Kechavim, we had separate Yisurim Lagabe, the Ha'alat Evrei Chutz and Ha'alat Evrei Pnim. Fine, then we went on from there to actually talk about a case where there might be separate Chiyuve Malchus, but there wouldn't be separate Chiyuvim of Kataot, sort of like the Torah mentioned Shor, Chesed, the A separately. Once we already did that, we're going now even further. We want to talk about places which Bechlav is not even Chiyuv Karas on, but where the Torah told us that there are separate Yisurim, Legabim Yisurim Malkas, which again is not directly Negevi Dinim of Kritut, but that since it's so central to our Masechta to explain the Din of Chalukah. Because, well, that's basically what we're focusing on here. What does the Torah mean specifically in terms of the onesh, or in terms of the yis or the azor on a thing? So in the Mela, we extended to talk about other things as well. Just like we just did, okay, the transition was dam, where there's some elements of dam that are not chayiv karas bichlal. So over there, it's very interesting. It's sort of midway between what we were talking before, let's say chaylev, where you could have separate isurim that are nogea malchus, but not separately similar in Agia Chatas, all of which are Chayav Karet. And then we have Dam, which is some of the Yisurim of Dam are Chayav Karet, and some are only Chayav Malkas. That's a transition stage. Now we're going to talk about things in Bechlal. There is no Karet. We just want to see the Chalukah Lagabi, the Yisurim, to be Mechayav Malkas. Om Rebbe Lo. Suppose somebody ate Masar Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzhar. So that Masar Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, why does the Torah mention separately Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar Lo Tuchal Le'echo B'Sharecha, outside of Yerushalayim you cannot eat the Maaser Sheni of Dagan, which is grain, and Tirosh, which is wine, and Yitzar, which is oil. If you ate three of them, you would get three separate Malkios. Ay, va'in lo kina lav shebechlalut. as we've already mentioned a number of times before, general law does not machai of you separate malkiyot. You know, over here, it's all one isur. Lo tuchal lecho b'sharecha ma'asar d'gamchati roshcha v'yitzarecha. So why is it that you machuyot three malkiyot? Ah, again, same thing we said before as we did the Gabi Chelev by the Kesev Shor Chesev Eiz. Shanei hacha de miyatri kroi. These psukim are all extra because look, mirti. Katzav rachamana v'achalte v'fnei Hashem lakecha ma'asar d'gamchati roshcha v'yitzarecha. The Torah says, eat the ma'asar dagan tirosh v'yitzar, mentions all three, lifnei Hashem alokecha, which means inside of Yerushalayim. Now, I'm smart enough to understand that that means bifnimin b'chutzlo. You can only eat it inside the chomot Yerushalayim and not outside. And what do you have to spell it out for me by saying, lamali dekata brahmana lo tuchal lecho b'sharecha ma'asar dagan chavit yirosh chavitzarecha, being as you just said that? So, shema mina lechalek. It must be coming to tell me that there's three separate Isuri. What? That's not why. It's because you can't take a mashma'ut of the implication of a mitzvah to say, namely, and say that because the implication is, and not shaloli fnei Hashem lokecha, but you have the equivalent of a lav, that's a lav abba miklal asay. And a lav abba miklal asay is only an implication, and is not mechayev malkut. Obviously, the Torah had to repeat lo tuchal lecho b'sharecha. Amti lohachi katav rachmanat lo tuchal. That's why the Torah had to write this additional pasuk luukma b'lam to know that I was over on a lota. Said it would be mechayev malkut, but you're still left with the problem of adayin lav should be klalutu. It's certainly not extra to say, and that explains why I get three separate malkiyot. This is a general single lav. Nah, because he came. Neima kra lo tuchal lo ochleim b'mash b'sharecha. You said a moment ago. What are we talking about? V'achalta lifnei Hashem elokecha ma'asar d'gamcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. So then all you have to do is say, v'lo tuchal lo ochleim b'sharecha. What's this business of repeating again ma'asar d'gamcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha lamale? Ella must be liyehudei achila d'kol chad b'chad. To tell me that there would be a separate malchus on each separate act of achila of these three species. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, we have an interesting similar din of chadash. When it comes to eating the new grain, the Torah said that you're not allowed to eat lechem, koli, v'charmel until you bring the omer in the Beit HaMikdash. Now those are three separate things, not three separate species, obviously, but there's three different ways of utilizing the grain. Of course, the lechem, we know what that is. Koli means that you take the grain and you pop it, basically, or you parch it over a fire with a little, in this little thing that, what do they call that? It has perforations in it, and you...
A boob, isn't it?
No. In English, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. It's like a sieve that turns round and round, and the grain pops over the open fire, but it's not, you know, not burned. So that's koli. And karmel is when you take the raw grain itself, which is kar gamal, in other words, it's full like a pillow, so it's karmel. And any of those things the Torah asks you before you bring the omer. So now, since it mentions them separately, here too we're saying that you would get three separate malkiyot. And again, of course, we're troubled by that since it's all one issur. It says that the lechem koli v'karmel lo tuchal, that's only one issur. Shani acha de miyater kroi, the whole thing is extra again. Why? Well, because it could have just said lechem, and then we would have known koli v'karmel from that, wouldn't we? Menei of koli v'karmel menei? No, not true. He can live with malo lechem shkini draba etzel chala. I mean, it's only on lechem that I have a new chiyuv to take a new matana, which is chal. So maybe it's also chomor that I have to treat it with respect in such a way that I have to wait until I bring the korban to be matir. Okay, fine, so let it say koli, okay? Let it say koli and not write lechem, and then I could learn everything out from koli. No, could not. Lechem y koli lo asi. Mishum de koli yite beinei. Lechem lo yite beinei. Remember that since we're talking about over here in Isser of Chadash, the Isser of Chadash is while the grain, I might have thought, while the grain has the appearances of the new grain, processing takes away the whole joy of the chadash. Anyway, it's just processed grain. So I would have thought once it's processed, there's no derech chadash. And over there, maybe once it's turned into lechem, one lechem's like any other lechem. If I see fresh grain, now that's something that I have to bring a carbon for. So therefore, I would say that which is itza beinei, it's in its natural state, fine. But lechem, which is not itza beinei, I can't learn out. And you know what? Carmel, I couldn't have learned out from Koli either, because Koli is chashuv, mishum de Koli nitrava itzel menachot. The truth is, I can bring the grain that's Koli, gufa for the mikrasa omer, but I can't bring Carmel, even though it does say Carmel. Right, so the Carmel means the grain when picked is Carmel and then needs to be turned into Koli, as opposed to picking the grain, taking grains that have already dried. And the Carmel was lo nitrav teitzel menachot. Okay, fine, so how about just writing Carmel and learning out Koli and Lechem from Carmel, right? So nichtov Carmel, v'nelev Lechem v'koli minei? No, ikal mifrak, male karmoshken lo nishtana mibriyato. I mean, the Carmel, I didn't do anything to it. I didn't even cook it. I mean, so maybe the Torah is only makbid on the chadash, which is completely natural, and not only looks like it did when it was picked, but actually is what it is, freshly picked. Therefore, I need to know all three of them. Well, now wait a minute. I mean, chadlo yalfi, it's true you can't write one, any one, to derive the other two. But maybe you could derive one out of two by searching for common denominator. So, neilu chadamitrin, let's say, lo niftov kral lechem. Forget about the lechem. Let me learn out lechem v'koli v'karmel. No, couldn't do that. Igal mivrag malak koli v'karmel de'isun de'ineon. Remember that both koli v'karmel look like grain, at least, so they have the chashivut of the freshness of the new grain. Therefore, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it until you bring the omer. Mashenkin, the lechem is entirely processed. Okay. So then, lo niftov kral karmel. And how about from the common denominator between lechem and koli? Nope. There's another common denominator. The common denominator is that lechem and the koli both are nitrabu etzel menachot. Remember, because we have the lechem, we have the lechem aponim, we have the shtei lechem. I mean, lechem has a certain chashivut when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, and koli has a special chashivut in terms of the minchat ha'omer. So maybe that's why I have to bring a korban. Mashenkin Carmel maybe has no chashivut. Okay, but that's what it boils down to, my friends. Lo nichtov kra koli. This is the one you're not going to be able to get out of. Let the Torah not write the din about the parched grains. The nailet mi lechem v'karmel. And I'll be able to derive it from the given. Lechem v'karmel. Now, what are you going to say there? I'll show you how the common denominator works out. My parakta. You're going to start asking, you say, well, lechem is different. After all, lechem has a chiv of challah attached to it. Okay, so Carmel proves that's irrelevant. Carmel yochia. Ah, but Carmel, after all, is in its natural state. Lo nishtana mibriyato. Well, lechem proves that's irrelevant. Lechem yochia. Hilkach, that's why we now have extra psukim, and that's why you get loka, that's why you get malchus, because you were miyater now, the posik, which is no longer necessary. And I really did not have to have the pusik of the koli, and therefore teaches me to get separate malchus.
And this is why it's not a lav shel b'chlalot?
Right. This is, as we saw, wherever you have miyater, it's not called lav shel b'chlalot, because that's what it's coming to tell me, b'davka.
Could it have just said dagan, the pusik?
I could also have thought that it's only dagan to eat gun and that. Yeah. Now, okay, I mean, I understand. You're showing me that one out of these three cases was set for a special reason. But, I mean, maybe that's only that case. Ema, Koli, I mean, yes, the case of Koli de Miyater would be Machayev Chada. So good, I agree. You're Chayev one Malkus for eating Koli. And then you'd be Mukli of one Malkus for eating the others. I mean, but you haven't shown me that each one, because I can tell you, look, the two that are given, I mean, those I must have in order to derive the common denominator. So maybe I'm only going to get malchus on the common denominator. Who's to say that each one should be chayev separately? In Cain, because I'll tell you why. If that was the point, the nichtov kra lechem v'karmel v'kali. No, what you're saying is, I need first to establish common denominator, and then I get the extra one to tell me, and there's also this. There's also Malchus on Koli. But that's not what it writes. Well, you could have done it the other way. You could have said, there's a Chiev on Koli, and there's also a Chiev on Lechem the Carmel. Right? You could have said that. But why do you say Koli in the middle? That's already difficult to accept, the Koli in the middle. I mean, it doesn't make sense at all. Either we're learning out from the two of them, or we've got three separate things. So therefore, what it's coming to tell me is Lechem is like Koli, and Carmel is Chayev like Koli. So in other words, each one of them has a separate view. Omri
Yanni. I didn't get that. Putting it in the middle.
Pulling in the middle says that it refers equally to Lechem and to Carmel, that even though the Lechem and Carmel are one, they're separated by Koli, to tell me the same way Koli is separated, Lechem and Carmel are also separated. Rav Yana, once we've pointed out these various interesting halakhas that come out from the very separate ways in which we learn every pasuk, we need to recognize there's places where a pasuk is separate, not because it actually says it's separate, but because limudim teach us that it's separate. So says Rabbi Yanai, la'olam al tigzera shava kala be'inecha. Don't take the limud of gzera shava as saying it only teaches us incidental laws. The truth is that it comes to teach us the actual chiyuvim and turn something into a chiyuv that wouldn't otherwise be a chiyuv. Because look, Pigel is certainly echad b'gufei Torah. I mean, you can't get a more central mitzvah than Pigel with all of its dinim. I mean, half of Zvachim, and you know what? That din, Pigel, that it's chayev and karet, is a result only of Gzeirah Shavah. The Omer of Yochanan, Toni Zavda Bar Levi, Ne'emar lahalan v'ochlav avono yisa, v'ne'emar kan v'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu, how do we know that there is karet bichlal by the din of Pigo? Malalan karet, afkan karet. We need basically to learn it out from notar, because the truth is that the karet that is mentioned over here by Pigo, which is a nefesh ochelet mimenu, that's talking about Pigo mamish. Well, it's pigul. Remember, there's two types of pigul. There's pigul chutz lezmanu, which is what the one that's chayav karet. But it also says by noser av ochlav avano yisa. Okay, and that's where we learn out the din of karet from. And Reb Simoy says lo alamatik zera shava kala beinav sharei notar is echad megufei Torah, and there would be no way for us to know what we're talking about. Lo limdo akatuv elo migzera shava. We actually only know that we're referring to notar with gzera shava, because it says, you're right, it does say that ochlav avono yisa. But the pashtut of that was referring to not notar at all, but rather to pigul chutz l'mekomo. The only way that we know there was a reference to notar was because we learned out kodesh kodesh mayi yolif kodesh kodesh ochlav avono yisa. Because Kodesh Hashem Chilel, which for Pashtus, I have no idea that's talking about notar, but it says back in Shmot V'sarafta Ta Notar Be'esh Ki Kodeshu. So I know from the Korban Pesach, it's a reference, Kodesh is a reference to notar. That teaches us that the Ochlav Avono Yisa is indeed a reference to notar. Om Rabbi Liyolam Atik Zerah Shava Kala B'Nefesh HaRibito Me'anu Satok. I named Rufei Torah. We know, we spoke about this earlier, that a daughter that is your illegitimate daughter, someone rapes a woman, has a daughter, how do we know that there is an isra, actually chiyuv misa of sreifa, on sleeping with one's own daughter that was not a result of a marriage? Remember that when the Torah answers isha ubita, it's only isha as ishut ubita. So fine, I mean, that could be your daughter, could be someone else's daughter. But the din of the daughter that is your own and not your married wife's daughter, actually the Torah never talks about it. It only talks about bat bina bat bita, your granddaughter, but it doesn't talk about your daughter. Now you say, well, it's a kal v'chomer, but that doesn't help us. It's a kal v'chomer. Because ein onchin min hadin, and ein mazin min hadin. How do I know your own daughter is a chiyuv of a sreifa? Is it gufei Torah? The only way we know it is from Gzera Shava. D'yomar Rava, Omar Li, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi, At Yahena Hena Le'isura. The fact that there's a lav, I learn out from the din of Hena Hena, and because we have She'ira Hena Zimahi, and that's the by the daughter of, you know, it says over there granddaughter. That was the Pashtas of the Pasuk that's talking about only Isha Ubita Lo Tigala, that's your wife's daughter, which could be your own, it could be not your own. But it also says that Erbas Bat Bincha or Bat Bitcha, which doesn't mention marriage, so that could be even an illegitimate grandchild, but that's a son. A son's daughter or a daughter's daughter. But how about the daughter herself? Ah, so since it says over there, Avati Shaul Bita, it ends with the word She'ira Hena Zimahi, which seems to be Bechlal, unimportant. And it also tells us the halacha of Hena here. The word Hena is used by the Bat Bincha or Bat Bitcha. So over there we learn out that the two Isurim, just like over there it includes, by Isha u'Bita, it includes both Bita and Bat Bina. So too, by your own daughter that is illegitimate, where it only talks about your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, it includes your daughter herself. In other words, we're comparing the woman and her daughter and her granddaughter to the Pasuk talks about your own granddaughter. And we're saying, just like by the woman and her granddaughter, it includes her daughter, so too by your granddaughter, it includes your own daughter. So by the case of Ishto, it says, She'ira hina zimai. By Anusato, it says, Ki ervatcha hina. So why does it say hina in both of those cases? To tell me that the two of them are similar. That's Lagavi the halach of the Isser. Zima, zima, I learn out for Srefa. Because when it talks about Isha and Ima, which is the opposite case of Isha Ubita, there was an Isha as answered, either you marry the woman and take her daughter, or you marry the woman and take her mother, which is ending in the inverse. In both cases, we learn out there's a Chiyav of Srefa, because it uses the lotion of Zimahi, and that Zimahi tells me that it is a Chiyav of Skila, because we don't share in Azimahi back in the sugya of Isha Ubita Ubat Bina Ubat Bita. So therefore, the two dinim, the Isser, meaning the Azorah, and the Sreifa, and the Karet, we learn out from Zima. Omer Rashi, Alti Gzera Shava Kalab Einecha, Shai Niskalin Einein Gufei Torah. How about the din of Skila? That's a pretty important halacha. And you know what? In almost every case, besides Oben Yedoni, the din of Skila is learned out only from Gzera Shava. Because the truth is, it only says demayim bam. It never says what to do. Demayim bam. They have their lives on their own hands. How do I know that demayim bam means skila? I derive it only from Xavier Shava, the Tanya. Nemar kan demayim bam. Venemar ba'ovi yidoni demayim bam. But just like the demayim bam by Oven Yidoni is a reference to skila, because over there it says beferish your gemul ba'aven. So too, wherever it says the name bam, all of the niskalim in the Mishnah are biskila. Hamefatemet Hashem, don't know about it. Hamefatemet Hashem and little modibo.
Why is it there? Show us something that was kalvachomer. Why is it? Kalvachomer sounds much more logical than that.
Because we learn out from a pasuk that ain't on shin min adin.
Logically, a kalvachomer is.
The logic behind it is that the Gzeirah Shavah is based on what the Torah is telling you, and the Kal V'chomer is based on the logical application of what the Torah is telling you. So normally the Torah says you have a right to use your dot to define what the Ratzon Hashem is. Remember, my dear President, that envelope was for you. Remember that we are very prejudiced in believing that rationality and logic are something to rely on. There's absolutely no reason to think that it's anything but a construct of our own minds that works within our own limited world. For us to say that because it makes sense to us, therefore it's God's will, is the basis of every insane religion in the world. Correct? The only way we know that we have a right to rely on our logic is because we have the Midosh HaTorah Nidresh plan. But since the Torah tells us you can only rely on that up to a point, what is the point? The point is where you're applying a halacha, but to create an isur, and certainly to create a chiyuv, you don't have a right to do that. That's exactly what we learned out yesterday. We had an extra pasuk to teach us. Do not rely on your intelligence for such things. So therefore, you can't stick with the Kal Vachomer, despite the fact that it's rational. When it comes to an extra word in the pasuk, where the Torah is being meramis to connect, link two things, that's as if it's given in the Torah. Okay.
And
this is what protects us from the madness of religion until we started believing in it. But until fairly recently, we kept to the Torah, the Agadora, of what it is that we're supposed to do.
And it's all Masorah, right? It's all Torah Shalom, whether we learn Gezeirah Shavah or something.
Yes, Gezeirah Shavah is not a literary analysis. It's a given over link. The next case we had in the Mishnah were the dinim of pitum. We had pitum of shemen, we had the shemen of mishkan, and the pitum of the ketores. Tana rabbana, hamefatem et hashemen, someone who makes the shemen, hamishkan, lilmod bo, because he's trying to learn how it is that it was done. So he's going over the psukim, and he's doing a demonstration in his class. Olamosr ul tzibur, he thinks he's going to give this shemen over to the tzibur to use. Now we're going to see that there was no such thing. The only Shemen HaMishka that is Shemen HaMishka was the Shemen HaMishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And there's a lot of discussion what particularly this means. This means because his intention was that it should be given over to the tzibur, even though there is no such animal as giving Shemen HaMishka to the tzibur. The Rambam apparently, the brisker approach to the Rambam, is that based on this Gemara, the Rambam changes the halacha of Mesira Letzibur by Shemen HaMishka. And he says the Shemen HaMishka that you were mefatem for someone else and not for yourself is potter. In other words, according to him, it's not a function of tzibur, it's just the fact that it isn't for your own self, for your own use. Mashenkin, when it comes to the ketoret, where the tzibur maybe could use the ketoret that was given to it, even though the particular ketoret maybe potter isn't done in the Kodesh, we'll see. There he paskins that it's the tzibur, like the Lashon and the Gemara. V'tehader ketoret v'neilef how do we know this? Says the Gemara Minolan. Atya matkunto min matkunta de ketoret. By ketoret it says b'feirush lo tasu lachem, which means lachem udi asur avlamosu v'tzibur patur. To give it over to the tzibur, there is no chiyuv. By shemen, therefore, we have the same lashon of matkonet, and that comes to tell me that Lamosha Letzibur Patur. Now you'll ask, why can't we also derive the Knoret from the Shemen? And say, just like the Shemen Mashem Mikimifatam, Mikimifatem Lachatzian Patur, that just like the Shemen HaMishcha, if you would prorate the ingredients, and you would actually make a Shemen HaMishcha, but they would be a smaller proportion of the Shemen HaMishcha. Over there you're Patur, and yet by the Knoret the din is, that the pitum of the ketoret in less than the size of the full ketoret is still chayev. I mean, it would cost you a fortune to actually make the ketoret, but you want to make a prorated amount of ketoret, you're chayev. But why is that? Why can't we learn out the ketoret from the shemen and say that just like the shemen, if it's done by prorating, then it's potter, so too a proportionate amount of ketoret should be potter. Kimefat v'chatzayim. It doesn't mean literally chetzian, half, in other words, but a proportionate amount should be potter. Why then did Rava say, Alom HaRava Keter Shepit Malach Chetzian, Chayav, Shemen Shepit Malach Chetzian Patur, if now you're telling me that the matkonet word that appears in both places is meant to be used as Gezeirah Shavah, I'll tell you why. Because Om Lecha Rava, Gabe Shemen Ktiv, Ubematkunto Lo Ta'asu Kamo. Notice that it stresses by the Shemen. Don't make like it. In other words, only Kamo Hudi Asur. But when it comes to Chetzio, then I'm not answering it. So a proportionate amount would not be asur mashenkin. By the Ktoret, it specifically says, HaKtoret asher taseh, any Ktoret that you make. In other words, kol asiyah Ktoret, what is it called Ktoret? In that it's the same proportions as are given on the full Ktoret, you would be mechayev. So any asiyah Ktoret that can be used, because look, efshe demakta pras shakris pras bin arbayim. So in other words, the Ktoret itself is not brought as a unit, so that would be sufficient to be mechayev. Tanabon. Shemen ha-mishchav, what the Shemen ha-mishchav, the Torah lists is mordra, chomesh meos, kida chomesh meos, kinman bosem chomesh meos, uknei bosem, chamishim umatayim, actually, it says the kinamon, it's in the Torah it says that chetzian is the chamishim umatayim, which is where we get chamesh meos. Where it comes to the Knebosem, we say it's literally Chamishim U'matayim, which means if you add it up all together, you get Elef U'shvameot V'chamishim. Wait a second, you're telling me how to add again? I thought we went through this in the beginning of the Sefer. Tana Min Yonaka Mashma, what he's teaching us how to add? No, Tana Kakashali. The Tana actually is dealing with a very significant problem. Maybe the Knebosem, that is mentioned in the Torah, is the same as the kinmon bosa. And the cinnamon, it says over there, machzito chamishim umatayim. A strange way to give a number. To tell me, half of it is 250. To make me derive that the whole of it is 500. Okay, but I mean, once it's telling me that, maybe the way to look at the knebosa, chamishim umatayim, is to say that it too is giving a measure of the machzito. So the machtito, the knebos, the machknebos, and maybe it means machtito is chamishim umatayim, which means that actually altogether it should be 2,000. So the havelet train alafim, therefore comes along the Tana to make it very clear to me, when I said 250, I meant 250. Not the machtito 250, the way the Torah says it. The full amount is 250. Hey, wait a minute. But now that you mention it, ema hachinami, maybe indeed that's the way we should read the pasuk. And the 250 that's said by the Knebosem should be similar to the Machzito Chamishim Umatayim, which is said by the Kinnaman Bosem. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask why we would do such a weird thing to list the by halves. But in any event, how do we know that it doesn't mean that? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you how we know. Because in Kain, Nichtov Kro Kinnaman Bosem U Knebosem Merza Chamishim Umatayim. Since you interrupt with the kinemon bosem machtzito is chamishim umatayim, it's clear that the knei bosem is not machtzito chamishim umatayim. Omalei Rav Papa Abaye, when you measure out the kinemon, kishu shokel, b'achrea hu shokel, o ayin b'ayin hu shokel. In general, the Torah gave us amounts. Now, normally, when you would purchase these amounts, there's always a hechrea, right? You always add a little bit to force the side of the scale down. By the way, that is the Hebrew word for decisions. Very important scale. The reason why is because the decisions, as opposed to choices, are simply balances.
Evaluations.
They're not really evaluations. They're balances. They could be chemical balances, hormonal balances, intellectual balances, but they're balances. Choices are not balances. Choices come outside of any hechreya. They're outside of the mechanisms of the brain. They're just applied to the brain. Decisions are always hechreya. So animals make decisions. Because they'll sit there looking, determining, you know, whether the pretty dog is more important than the bone. And that's a decision. It's going to be arrived at, ultimately, by reaching a certain hechreya. Something way down the other side. So when you buy the hechreya. How about when you weigh the amounts listed over here? Do the amounts, because the prorating is certainly going to be off. Because even if the Torah meant, and I mean this together with the prorated amount. I mean, each amount is going to be slightly, if I'm dealing with a small amount, then the hechreya is going to be a heck of a lot different than hechreya in a large amount. Remember, these are scales. With all of their built-in problems of friction and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it means we'd be unable to be medakdek on the amount of the hechreya Do we weigh with Achrei, or do we weigh Ayin b'Ayin? In other words, we even it out, it looks exactly correct.
Why would I think that not to buy exactly? Or not to weigh exactly?
Because normally the way of weighing, the derech of weighing, and since Dibra Tarko Shom B'nei Adam, is to weigh with Achrei, to be certain that you have the weight. Mm-hmm. The Ayin b'Ayin always leaves you, since you can't really be exact, so it always leaves you with the question of whether are you a bit on that side or a bit on that side. And remember that we're dealing over here with gross tools to measure something that sort of gives me an amount on. Right? So this is true in everything. I mean, if it comes to your tefillin, what's the shear that the Torah is makbid on the ribua of your tefillin, let's say? Or when the Torah says an amount, bichlal, let's say, that's nogea, for instance, the famous case where it's nogea pi. How makbid is the Torah on the relationship of pi to how many decimal places, right? So these are things that we learn out from Sukkim. The question over here, what is meant? Is it meant to try to get as exact as you can, or does it mean weigh it the way you normally weigh it with Achrei?
In business
you have another issue, that you want to make sure you're not cheating, and you always give Achrei. Yeah. But here it's not business. Here the question is, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, use it.
David is right. Why should you think the other issue?
That's what we just discussed. No, okay. Either for exactitude or because of the way in which humans weigh.
But since we're not dealing with business and not cheating anybody, it should be.
But because exact is not a possible attainment for human beings. It will always be a function of your tool. So knowing the grossness of our tool, shall we look at the tool and say, look, the Torah said use your tools, so whatever your tools say is okay, but I can make a better tool with a frictionless bearing so that I wouldn't have the problem about, the Torah said use any tool. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, the Torah said use the tools that you have and make sure that you do it the way you would do it for a human being. You'd give them a little bit extra. Abaye said to him, what is wrong with you? If the Torah says bad bevad, what do you think bad bevad means, to be exact? What's your hava mina? Well, Amar Rav Yehuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Hechreot. I mean, isn't that what Rav Yehuda means? God alone knows the value of the Hechrea because of its difference in each case. And he's taking that into consideration when he tells you, weigh it, I'll worry about the achraot. You don't worry about the achraot. They don't have to be rated particularly in a way that you could measure. Apparently there are achraot, and you're laughing at me. Hello, Rabbi Yehuda.
What does it mean if there's a role for the achraot? For the fact that he's not apparently not mocked on it?
Right. He's taking into consideration your achraot. That's his business. It's not your business. He knows the achraot. You don't have to start. You don't have to worry. Wait a second, but over there, I didn't oil the scale today, so maybe that would have changed it. That's part of his knowledge of the achraot. He'll work that out.
So in the Ayin b'Ayin world, is that
going to
be based on an exact?
El Amar Rav Yehuda, the Kinmon Bosan. Let me ask you something. I'll explain to you. Why did the Torah say Machzitot Chamesh Meot? When we have the Kinman Bosem, we know it gives us Machzitot. You have to bring the Machzitot Chamesh Meot, Chamishim U'Matayim, Bechadzim, V'Chamishim U'Matayim Bechadzim. The din over there is B'chayvi to bring it separately, 250 and then another 250. Isn't that a little bit ridiculous? I mean, given the Kulu Chamesh Meot, Savi, nice a Chamesh Meot, V'Azachas, I understand. Get a bigger scale. You're measuring anyway Chamesh Meot for the others. There's only one possible difference. Shma mina amirika maisel kinman bosa betrezinim hechrea ispe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea behechreot. The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedavka wants you to weigh it twice so that you have a little bit different way of dealing with the hechrea. Because a double hechrea of 250 is going to be different than a single hechrea of 500. And this means that he's taking the hechrea into consideration. So if it is so important that the Torah has to tell you, weigh it at separate times, obviously the hakraot are part of the issue, and therefore it means that you don't know, and you don't have an exact value. That doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodei ha'achrayot, and he included this in the mitzvah. Why then does it say bad bevad? Ravina, bad bevad means every single time you have to weigh it. That's what it means. Shelo yaniach mishkal b'mishkal v'yishkol. You can't weigh one of the things and then say, okay, now I've got my chomesh meos of that, let me measure now chomesh meos of something else against it. That I can't do. It has to be bad bevad. Each thing has to be weighed on the scale as if it's the first thing. Tana Rabbana, Shemin HaMishka Shasa Moshe B'Midbar, Mishalko Be'ikrim, Diva Rabbi Yehuda. When Moshe Rabbeinu made the Shemin HaMishka, how exactly does the Shemin HaMishka mix with these various spices? It's stewed in the spices. Uh-huh. And when it's stewed, it absorbs the smell, and that makes it Shemin HaMishka. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, that is the craziest thing I ever heard. If you take a look at the immense weight of the ikrim that you're bringing, and you put 12 a crummy hin of the Shemin HaMishka there, it would be completely absorbed. You wouldn't even have any oil left. Forget about boiling it. I mean, how could you do that? Therefore, I mean, you want to be practical. I'll tell you how you do this. The first thing you do is you bring ikrim, and you do boil them up. You boil them in water. You don't boil them in the oil itself. Shoka b'mayim. Then, after you leave them in the water, by the way, it's another lashon of sharon b'mayim, that you let them absorb, as Rashi says, you let them absorb the water, and then when they are fully soaked, so that they're not going to absorb any of the shemen, then hitzit faleim shemen ha-mishcha, you put the Shemin HaMishka over them, the kolet et ha-reach, that absorbs now the smell that had gotten into the whatever liquid is there and in the surface of the various things that you put in, the kipcho, and then you strain it out, and then you've got yourself Shemin HaMishka, that is the same 12 in that you put in. Amar Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu, that's what bothers you. What, you don't like the fact that if I boil the Shemin HaMishka, by the way, the Rambam learns that even according to Yossi, after you soak it in water, you boil it. Everybody says, everybody else learns to just put it on. He says, you still boil it. Because he didn't change. The only question is how you could do it that way and still have anything left. So in other words, we're left with still boiling it. Others learn that it means, as it says over here, but Pashtut, you let it soak and absorb the smell.
After they weighed everything in
water.
After they weighed everything dry.
Yes. And then you mix it with the oil.
Do you say you boil the oil or you boil the water and then the oil on top absorbs the flavor?
Neither of the above. V'chineisechad nasa b'shemana. This is what bothers you. What's going to happen to the oil? You think this is the only miracle? It's miraculous. You're right. There's not enough in those 12 in. But I mean, if you think that the Shemin HaMishka was supposed to be approached rationally, then how do you understand the whole history of the Shemin HaMishka? Halonisim harbei nasuba. First, mitchilatov atzofo. From the beginning of the making of the Shemin HaMishka, throughout all of Jewish history, until the time of Yoshiyahu, when the Shemin HaMishka was hidden, it's been nothing but madness anyway. Look, tzilato lahaya ala yudbeis lug, okay? You start off with 12 lugin. Those 12 lugin, you know what we use those 12 lugin for? Bo nimshva bishkan kelav aharon vanav kol shivat yemei hamiluim. I mean, think of that. You're talking about thousands of kelim. 7 days, actually, of course, why not 8 days? Because the Shmini and the before you had the same thing in the morning. Ubonim shechuko anim gedolim, every kohen gadol was nimshach until the time of Yoshiyahu. And you had the melachim, the kings that needed Mashiach. The kulo kayam latid lavo, and when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, the same Shemin HaMishka in its full 12 lugin will be there exactly as it was. Shenema Shemin Mishkat Kodesh Yihye Ze Li L'dorotechem. And the Ze, by the way, is Begematria the Shem Yisrael Lugin. So the same Shem Yisrael Lugin will be for all Dorot, L'dorotechem. Tomer Rabbanu. Vayikach Moshe Shemin HaMishka, Vayim Shachat HaMishkan, and so on and so forth. Says Rabbi Yerushalayim, in the Mishnah she'asa Moshe b'Midbar, harbein nisim nasu bo mitchilato v'atzofo. It was miraculous from beginning to end. First of all, tchilato lo hayo l'shem esrei lugim. Now think to yourself, you take 12 lugim, you stick it into a pot, and you boil it up with all of this stuff. Kama yoreh bolat, how much is absorbed in the edges of the pot? Kama ikrin bolin, how much would have been absorbed in all of this solid material, which now is going to absorb it? Kama ho'ur soreh, how much of it is simply going to turn into steam? So, you'd have nothing left. Now that itself is miraculous. You couldn't even make the thing with the ingredients the way it's defined in the Torah. Ubonim shach, nonetheless there was sufficient there for the Mashiach, Mishkan, Kelim, Aron, Levon, of course, Shivachimei Beluim, Ubonim shu kohanim gedolim, Umelachim, and by the way, even a kohen gadol, ben kohen gadol, even if someone is yoresh, his position, he still requires Mashiacha. Although the truth is that for a king, ein moshchin melech ben melech, you don't do Mashiacha on a king's son. Now I know you'll ask me, well, wait a minute, we know that they took Shlomo down and made a big ceremony right over here, and they were Moshechim. Why was that? That was only named Machloket Adoniyahu. Since there was a problem with Adoniyahu, and Adoniyahu was trying to be king, so they made a point of being Moshechim during the lifetime of David to define him as the king. Same thing happened with Yoash. Yoash, because Ataliyahu was causing a rebellion and it killed out the Zera Malucha, they wanted to make it very clear that Yoash was left and that he's going to be king. And how about Yehoahaz? Why did they do Mashiacha on Yehoahaz? Now that's a little bit strange anyway, because when they did Mashiacha on Yehoahaz, there couldn't have been any Shemana Mishka. So exactly how did that happen? That the Gemara is going to talk about later, because that was after that talk. These are already children of Yoshiyahu. There was no longer any Shemana Mishka. But you see, Yehoyakim actually was 2 years older than Yehoahaz. And everybody expected that Yehoyakim as the Bechor would have been appointed. And therefore, they needed to do the Mashiach of Yehoahaz to establish that he was the legal king. And because with the Yehoyakim, Achim Sheyagadom Yehoyakim Shtei Shanim. Okay. Now let's analyze this. Omar.
Why was it not
commercial? We'll see. We'll get to this. Omar. A few Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, Tohon Mashiach. I mean, no. And how do we know that even if a Kohen Gadol is the son of a previous Kohen Gadol who himself was Mashiach, that he does require Mashiach? Dichtiva Kohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav. Why doesn't it say? Name a Kohen. HaKohen SheTachtav Mibanav. What's it say? HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav. To tell me that it's always Mashiach. A commercial, a filu b'banav. It's still going to be a kohen HaMashiach. That's very clear proof. Mashiach means he was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. So you see that a kohen gadol, even though he is tachtav mibanav, is still Mashiach. So ahud mashach avi kohen gadol v'lo mashach lo avi kohen gadol. If they don't do Mashiach, it doesn't help. He's not yoresh the position. You need the Mashiach to create the position. I know it's bothering you, but it's not a problem. Because the fact that ribui begodim creates the equivalent doesn't mean that the inheritance creates the equivalent.
No, but it does.
Okay, so in other words, we learn out something else. If you don't have it, you can be marba begodim, but it's still, there is still a din of doing investiture.
Which is?
Investiture means literally in your vest, or it means through the act of the Mashiach.
Clearly that's what they did all those generations after.
Absolutely. Omar Ma, Ein Moshin Melech Ben Melech, how do we know that? Omar Abach Bayak Versiv Laman Yarich Yamim Am Mamlachto, Hu Uvanav, it says Bedavka, Hu Uvanav, and that means Malchuto is Yerushalmi. So then, Mikne Mamashkut Shlomo, why then did he do Mashiach Hushem of Shlomo? Mikne Machloket Adoniyo. And how do you know you have a right to do that? I mean, Olan, Defiati Machloket Boy Mashiacha. How exactly does that work? Maybe just the fact that David said that Shlomo should be king is sufficient. I mean, the Lord called the boy Malka, Murgla, Malkuta. I mean, why can't the Melech say, I want this one to be the Melech, and that's it? I mean, if it's this din over here of Yerusha, Amrepapa, Omar Kral, I'll tell you why. Because you'll notice that it says, Kol Hayamim, Bekerev Yisrael, which means that a Malchut cannot be asserted as a continuation of a previous melech unless it's Bekerev Yisrael, meaning that everyone accepts it. If it's not the care of Yisrael, it's basically like a new beginning. And then it has to be established and asserted. And the way to establish and assert it is through the Shemen HaMishkan. So Bizman Shalom to Yisrael, yes, then it's Huvanav. If it's not Shalom to Yisrael, it's like starting over again. Tana, the Brisa, points out that Yehu ben Nimshi also was Mashuach. And that was because he was in the midst of a political battle with Yoram, the son of Ahab. Now, none of this makes sense because we'll see that only Malchut Beit David is Mashuach B'Shem HaMishka. We're going to talk about all of this. So, but nonetheless, Eliyahu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and be Mosheach Yehu. Now, wait a second. But Yehu was not a member of the family. Yehu, my name. It's very dangerous like that. Yehu was the beginning of a new family dynasty. So what's the question? Of course he needed Mashiach. We said, the only Melech ben Melech doesn't require Mashiach. So says the Gemara, I understand, what does that have to do with the Machloket? Typically the Melech Rishonu, he's the first of a dynasty. No, I'm sorry, you're right. Chisurim Mechaz, something's missing over here. Balki Ketani. The correct way in the Brisa, actually, a big piece is left out. It's like this. Malchei Beit David Moshchi. Malchei Yisrael ain't Moshchi. The Im Tomar, if you ask, so then why did Eliyahu do Mashiach on Yehu ben Nimshi, who was not Mi Malchei Beit David? That was because of the Machloket of Yoram ben Achav. Omar Mar, Malchei Beit David Moshchi, Malchei Yisrael Moshchi. How do we know that? Mi Nolan. Dichtiv kum Moshcheu ki zehu. We find that Shmuel was told to be Moshech and David because that's him. That teaches us Zeta un Mashiach. In that context, it means Moshechu because this is the guy who requires Mashiach. I would never have told you to do Mashiach if it wouldn't have been him. That teaches me Zeta un Mashiach, Ve'in Acher to un Mashiach. Any other Melech would not have been to un Mashiach.
Who's the Zeta?
David. Zehu, a Malchus based David requires Mashiach. Omar, Mipnei Machloket Yoram. Well, how does the Machloket with Yoram give you the right to use the Shemen HaMishka, which is usher to use, Nimaol the Shemen HaMishka? For what possible purpose? Kiram Rav Papa, Be'afarsama Dacha. We'll see later on, Rav Papa explains by the problem of it being post-Yoshio, at the time of Yoyakim, it doesn't mean Shem HaMishka, it means the Mashiach was done with purified Simon oil. Fine, that's what it means over here also, Achinami, Ba'afar Simon Dachia. Actually, the whole thing is a little bit strange, it's a fair supposing that Eliyahu... That was pretty good, it's pretty fast. That Eliyahu was told the Pharaohs to go out and do the Mashiach, right? It was really cute watching it. So, okay, I mean, in other words, you'll have to say what gave us the right to believe that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Lech Mashiach, that it means using the Shemen HaMishka. And indeed, Rav Papa says it also. He didn't use the Shemen HaMishka.
They didn't have it, right?
They had it, but they didn't use it because it was Malchei Yisrael. And how about Yoachaz b'dnei Yoyakim shagadol mimenu shtei shanim? Now, first of all, that's not even true. Mikashish, how could you say Yoyakim was older than him? It says b'nei Yoshio, look at this, habuchor Yochanan, there was no such person, hasheni Yoyakim, hashlishi Tzidkiyahu, v'arvii shalom, v'yomar Rabbi Yochanan, v'yomar Rav Yochanan, this Yochanan is Yoachaz. So that means that he was the Bechor. Yoyakim was the second. You're claiming Yoyakim was 2 years older. How in the world was the 2 year older one, how come he was the second one from the Bechor? And it also, by the way, Hu Tzidkiyo Hu Shalom, which we're going to ask is a little bit crazy. If you said separately, Tzidkiyo and Shalom, how could Tzidkiyo be Shalom? So answers the Gemara, first of all, Leonom Yoyakim Kashish. The truth is Yoyakim was older. The reason the Pasuk refers to him in Divrei Hayomim as the Bechor is because he is the Bechor of Malchut. So his Chashivut is the Bechor. That's why we often find out that Ten Bechor Kirizichem in terms of the Chashivut. Umimuk Minan Zuta Kami Kashisha. Why indeed would we appoint a younger son before the older was Yoyakim. The Haktiv, doesn't it say that HaMamlacha Natan LeYehoram Ki Hu HaBechor? So mashma that the Malchut goes to the Bechor in years? No, that's because Ahu Mamale Makom HaMotav HaBe. Yehoram, yes, he goes to him because he was on the same darg as his father to be able to be Mamala his shoes. But if he's not on the same darga, and Yehoyakim was not on the same darga, then indeed it has to be given to the one that is most ro'ui. Boy, it would be nice if we had it in like that, huh? But by the way, these halachas have been applied halacha l'maisa again and again in machlokasin about Rabbanut, which have been very, very serious long-term machlokasin in Europe. Of what right there is for the son of the current Rav to inherit the position of the Rav. Until today, it's still a political hot ball. And these sugyas about Mamale Makom Avotav, whether there's Dinim of Malchus, whether when there's Machlokes, is there's an assumption of Yerusha, there's a lot of Shadows of Tshuva, the famous Tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, who shows that the Beker of Yisrael was meant to apply to the Dinim of Rabbanut also, which is amazing. I mean, so these turns out fascinatingly something that looks like a historical curiosity turned out to be a very important thing throughout the generations. So over here, we call him the Bechor because he was the only one that was right. Now, how in the world do you get away with reading a pasuk that lists separately Shalom and Sitio and telling me Shalom and Sitio? I don't understand. They're listed as separate generations, so to speak. Three, four, in other words, each one we're saying next in line. So how could you say it's the same person? No, the idea over here is Shlishi, HaShlishi is because he was the third son and the last. The reason that he's called the Rivi'i is because he only became king as number four. How's that possible? Because they made Yechaniyo, who was the son of Yoyakim, his nephew came before him. So Divrei HaYomim, which constantly renames people on the basis of their history, is Gufa coming to tell us number four is actually child number three. So what happens is you had Yechonyo Kameh, in other words, Betchila Malach Yoachaz, and then Malach Yoyakim, and then Malach Yechonyo, the son of Yoyakim, and only at the very end, Ubesof Malach Tzidkio. Tana Rabbana, the Brice also asserts, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkio. Lamanikra Shmo Shalom, Shaya Shalem Bemasav. He was a tzaddik. And others say, Davaracher, Shalom Shishilem Malchut Beit David Miyamav. That was the end of Malchut Beit David. Neither of these names were his name. In case you're not confused enough, his real name was Matanyo. Umashimo, his real name is Matanya, and this we see. Vayim l'shenema, vayim lochet Matanya dodo tachta. Nebuchadnezzar took Yechonyo's uncle Matanyo, who was Tzidkio, and changed the name of Matanyo vayasev shmo Tzidkio. He turned, it was Nebuchadnezzar who gave him the name of Tzidkio, and the reason he named him Tzidkio was to tell him the Omar law. Let me tell you, buddy. God should only take it out on your skin. You're going to have a lot to answer for if you make me any problems. I'm making you swear allegiance, and I intend to see to it that you keep that allegiance. Nebuchadnezzar made him swear to God that he would be loyal to him, and he went ahead, he was martyred to Shmuel. We had the whole story about the rabbit stew and so on with Nebuchadnezzar, and he went and was more connected. Now wait a second, Miyad Shemin HaMishra, there wasn't even any Shemin HaMishra over there, because these are all children of Yoshiyahu, but Yoshiyahu was the one who had hidden the Oran, and we know that Misha Nignaz Aaron, Nignaz Tzinzenet Haman, Utsluki Shemin HaMishra, Umaklo Shel Aaron, Ushkedim uprachim the argaz shishigrup lishtim doron l'Elohei Yisrael. All of the things that we're going to see, we learn this out of Pesukim. All of the things that were sent along with the Aron HaBrit, or that had been set, told to us to keep by the Aron HaBrit, Limishmeret, whether it was the Tzitzinet Amman, or whether it was the Mishmeret about Machloket, or the Hashem and HaMishka itself, and the Machloket, of course, was the Makel of Aron, with the Shkenim, with its Prachim. All of these things were hidden at the same time that the Aron was hidden. Shenema.
Digging up
now? They're trying to, but they're not so lucky. Shenema. That klei hazahav asher hashivu tam lo hasham tasimu ba'argaz mitzido. All of these things were hidden. Umi ganzo, who was the one that hid the oral? Yoshio melech Yehuda ganzo. Shenema vayom alem ha-melech, vayom ha-melech ha-lekohanim, tnu et Aaron ha-kodesh, ein lechem ke-gavada ve-katev me'atah, and so on. And Rebbe Elazar learns out each one of these from a separate pasuk. And I think we'll do those separate psukim tomorrow. I think we did a pretty darn good job on this big, this big job. We finished it just a little over an hour, so we'll make that our longest afternoon meeting today. So tomorrow. The parasites are waiting. All we want is.
Always complain about the labor of this human here. We have to see them waiting.
And we have to say goodbye to our dear Moshe until the end of his next visit, when he comes home again. May this visit be a short one. We'll see you back home.
Thanks so much.
Okay.